Welcome to Marketplace Kingdom, the conference call and podcast series from the Empowerment Institute at One Rock Strategics. Our ongoing purpose is to provide biblical perspectives and practical strategies for understanding the times and advancing God's kingdom right where you are. We're committed to presenting thought-provoking conversation and encouragement by bringing you guests who share their own stories and insights on being authentically Christian, demonstrating Christ's love and lordship in their own professional and personal spheres of influence. We want to share ideas with you that you can use to bring Christ's redeeming and transforming power to your world in your day-to-day lives. I'm DJ Swanger, and my co-host is Pastor Dave Heisinger. Whether you're with us live or listening to the podcast replay here in the U.S. or anywhere around the world, we're glad you're with us. Friends, it's been less than 2 weeks since the inauguration of our 45th president here in the United States, and it seems like everyone is still talking about politics. Now, those are important conversations. America continues to be a deeply divided nation. People have profound differences on a multitude of issues, and most are now watching our new governmental leaders to see what they're actually going to do. But, as we've discussed on our podcast before, what if real change begins somewhere else, with a different starting point and a different kind of leadership and influence? What if real kingdom transformation for lives and nations begins with Christ in us, living and moving in the power and presence of the Holy Spirit right where we are? This is the focus of our conversation today. We hope you're blessed and encouraged by this discussion of a different kind of influence and a different kind of change. Well, Dave, this is our 24th episode of Marketplace Kingdom.
Wow.
In 2 weeks, we'll celebrate our one-year anniversary. We've been talking with some amazing people on these episodes, and it's been such a privilege for me. Our focus has continued to be bringing biblical perspectives and practical strategies for advancing God's kingdom right where folks are. We picked that as a tagline, and it really does, I think, communicate the vision. We've been able to discuss the Seven Mountain model for understanding culture and some of the challenges that we face as Christians in our world and particularly our nation today. We've talked about how to be and how not to be a Christian influence in various contexts. Now, here in the U.S., there are major areas of tension between the priorities of God's kingdom and those of the broader culture. Everybody knows it. Everybody sees it. There are major differences in perspective, agenda, and vision for the future. And a few of these came out in one way or another over the past year in the run-up to the presidential election here. They still dominate the news, even now. So here we are in the U.S. 7 days after the inauguration of a new president, with promises of a new era and a renewed great America. So for us as the church going forward, in the midst of all of this, what's changed, really? As far as the call on us as authentic believers to bring the transforming power of Christ and his kingdom into the world around us, what's different?
Nothing and everything. Nothing's changed. God doesn't change. The Bible doesn't change. The Spirit doesn't change. The Lord Jesus is still sovereign, right? He is on the throne. The kingdom of God must advance. But on the other hand, God is the God of change. He is the God of transformation. He takes us from where we're at, and he moves us into seasons like we're in now, where the church needs to move beyond themselves and seize every opportunity. It is interesting how the season of change that the United States is going through is conducive to the church stepping up and showing itself to the country as to how healthy it actually is, how complete it is, how it is not about itself, how it is not about its own money and its own issues, but how it is about the love of Christ and how it can be a viable, necessary part of our world, how it can fill in the gap of people's hurting, people broken, people suffering, how it can come with the love of heaven, and how it can support and touch and move and work in regions in the United States and across the globe that no one else can, motivated by one simple thing. God saying to us that anyone who loves has been born of God. Make my love complete by going out and loving others in 1 John chapter 4. That changes everything. That changes communities. That changes families. That changes businesses and cities. And it changes countries. It changes political regimes. It changes structures in the whole governmental arena. Simply, people motivated by making God's love complete, by taking the Holy Spirit that has been given to them and giving the Holy Spirit out to those around them. 1 Peter 4, verse 10 says that if anyone speaks, let him speak the very words of God. And then verse 11, and if he serves, let him serve with the strength that only God provides. And then a few verses before that, Peter says that we are to distribute the gifts that we have been given. The word for distribute means to actually give a piece of, like a steward would distribute money to those in the house. So we are called to actually give out the love of God through the presence and the person of the Holy Spirit. It's not just giving out tasks. It's not just giving out niceness and warmth. It's actually giving out the presence of heaven, the presence of the Holy Spirit. And that changes everything.
I would agree with everything you said. One question that comes up repeatedly in conversations right now, particularly in the context of discussions of the public influence and position of the church, and in the public view, the church being defined by conservative evangelical Christianity. There is a perception of conservative evangelical Christianity being inseparably wedded to right-wing conservative Republican philosophy and public presence, and all the implications that that has. Yet that perception is based on an understanding that the political governs everything else. The political defines all other areas of activity. Right now, it's like conservative versus progressive, or conservative versus liberal, whatever language you want to attach to it, is an overarching worldview that defines everything else in every sphere of activity. And we've talked on our call about authentic biblical faith having that defining role. And we've talked about how the biblical message of the kingdom of God offers solutions to the world's problems that are significantly different from political solutions, whether they be conservative or progressive or moderate. How do we move ahead with a prophetic critique and compassionate, constructive kingdom strategies in this new context?
Back to the original question, what has changed? Nothing and everything. I think that I have a difficult time with aspects of political agendas that contradict biblical truth, right? Both on the conservative side and on the liberal side of politics. And quite frankly, there are some things that I believe as a Christian, I'm going to stand for. Some of them are on the political side and some of them are on the liberal side. I have compassion, for example, for women to thrive. I would like them to have equal opportunities to thrive, equally created with the opportunities to bear God's image and have dominion make sense to me. And so I have compassion for the march in Washington, D.C. by women. I loved some of the reasons for that. I loved how a 70-year-old woman was interviewed on TV, and she said, I'm here because President Trump, in his campaign, said some horrible things about a woman, and it got on a video. And I just want President Trump to know that I hold to a value that all women are created by God. And I thought that was beautiful. That's a valid, warranted thing to march for, right? And I want women to thrive. I want them to thrive. Biblically, I think that there is clear word that women are not in charge of the baby in their wombs, but God's in charge of the baby in their wombs. And so when we lump all protesters that happened over the weekend together, we can't just say all of them are crazy liberal women and write them off. And we have to look at them at hearts, look at them individually. Some of them really want to terminate babies in the womb. Others love babies in the womb and want them to thrive, but they want to stand against the president's really idiotic words about women that he spoke on his campaign trail. And so when I look at this biblically, I can't put people in one category. We have to love them all, right? What is the Christian's responsibility? To go march? I have to confess to you, it's January 26th. And just before getting ready for this call, I went online to see how much it would cost me to fly tonight to Washington, D.C. to join the March for Life, because that's a cause that makes sense to me. And it is outside of the political arena. There'll be both Republicans and Democrats at this march. And because life is an issue that is biblically given that transcends, and it's a little bit too expensive, and I can't do it. I can't make it happen for both my wife and I. So therefore, I will be there in prayer, and I will be there crying out to the Lord. I will be there in spirit. I'll be there in the Holy Spirit. So those are just a couple examples that the call for us is to stand on the biblical foundation, and it transcends the political. And if we want to see the political foundation transformed, the church sphere in the societal spheres, or the church mountain needs to lead the charge. And we need to lead the charge according to our one Savior, our one Lord. And How it comes out politically, that's up to the Lord.
So what I'm hearing you say, I think, is that the call on Christians really entails something a little more complex than simply voting or towing a party line or whatever, that we need to be willing to step up and frame a different conversation.
I think there are two levels. There's two levels to that conversation. And you can respond to this, Don. I'd like to hear you on this. The two levels being, we need to take a stand in principle, which involves perhaps corporately or publicly, but we also need to take a stand individually, which means there's a world around us, no matter who they are, no matter what faith they come from, no matter what their political stance on or whatever pain or whatever they've done, there's a world around me completely know the love of Christ.
And I think what you said about viewing, for example, the group that was demonstrating in Washington as an aggregate of individuals who each coming with their own unique reasons, some of which we would agree with and others of which we wouldn't necessarily.
Right.
And we need to compassionately and intelligently look at each of those individuals and evaluate on that basis and really move toward deconstructing the groupthink of the movement, seeing that there are a host of issues in play, and a lot of them are not fundamentally political issues. They are heart issues. They are truth issues. They are justice issues that need to be evaluated from a larger heart and truth perspective. And when we move ahead in that way, it puts us in a position to really touch individual lives and to speak to the culture and the heart of various movements.
Yeah. Amen.
The other thing that really strikes me is that we as local communities of faith always have been in a position to take local action. You know, we had Ron Jimerson on a while back, and the thrust of our discussion with Ron was that real change can be affected and real influence can be brought to bear locally from the ground up, rather than depending on bureaucrats and policymakers to do so and to come in and impose an agenda from the outside. And some of the ground up types of initiatives that the local church and the local faith community can take can have tremendous impact practically in the lives of people. You know, it's one thing to be opposed to abortion, and that's a very important issue to deal with. But politically, one of the criticisms that is leveled toward folks, even in the church, who take a stance against abortion is, so what are you going to do about the babies? What are you going to do about the unwed mothers, about the poverty of families that have kids? And the involvement of churches in food banks, in things like the Teen MOPS program that says we value life in the womb and we value that life after it comes out into the world. And we're going to stand with teenage mothers and preschoolers and help them get on their feet. And we're going to minister to them and help them to flourish. There are alternate programs like pregnancy resource centers around the country and organizations like Life International that work here and around the world from a Christian-based perspective, providing abortion alternatives and real care to women who are in crisis pregnancies, who are working with women to flourish. Those kinds of movements by the faith community provide a practical, transformative presence that can't be argued with, that goes beyond political discourse.
Don, who is the one who has the motivation of the love of Christ? The government? No. Who is the one who has the motivation of the compassion of the heart of Christ for little children? The government? No. Who is the one who is going to meet that family who is destitute? The government? No. Rather, those motivated by the love of Christ, the church. And there are, and the church is stepping up and has stepped up in the United States with hospitals and with pregnancy resource centers and with ministries for teenagers, schools and programs for alcoholism and abuse and recovery for those who have been raped and abused and blah, 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 blah. It goes on and on and on. One of the most effective recovery programs in the Twin Cities where I live is Adult and Teen Challenge. And they have a remarkable success rate, graduates, higher than any other organization, any government-run organization, any non-Christian organization. The Adult and Teen Challenge organization here in the Twin Cities has the highest success rate of seeing those who come into the program, which come in by the hundreds, come into the program, actually come out and are healthy enough to get a job and stay sober and stay clean for long periods of time, if not for the rest of our lives. That is a Christian organization. You know, they are unashamedly Christian, and their content of everything they do is pointing those people to Christ, no matter who they are, because Christ is the one who transforms. So right now, the church needs to prove to the world that we're the ones that are motivated by the love of Christ. A quick example is the church that I am part of. For the last 2 years, we have been in a process of finding out where God is calling us with regard to our community on a specific area of meeting need. 2 years ago, we closed our food shelf. There were a number of reasons why we closed it: administration issues, facility issues, location issues, etc. But we had to close, and so that meant that people in need had to go to other places, and we felt good about that because there are other organizations that they could turn to. But as a church, we wanted to not miss out on meeting the need of a community, and we wanted to know what is the need and what do we need to do to meet it. So we looked at statistics in our city had grown by a certain percentage, and I'm not sure the percentage, but of that number in our city, 20% of our city were people who were not citizens of the United States. 20% of the growth was of people who were not citizens of the United States. So we took a look at that, and we found that those people had a very difficult time processing their immigration papers in their trying to bring their families from other countries into the United States, etc. We made a decision. We want to be a positive force for the kingdom of God in those immigrants' lives. So we paid for one of our members to become certified by the United States government as an immigration official. And so that person now is certified, and we as a church pay for a legal covering. And starting in February of this year, we are opening an immigration clinic. And that means that we have the authority to process people's papers who are wanting to become citizens of the United States. Whoa, right there. We're stepping in the void because, motivated by the love of Christ, we are meeting a direct need of our city and our region. And the moment we open the door, phone calls have already started to come in. In February, we are going to be processing people to become citizens. That's just one piece of what my church is doing. There's three or four significant things that we're doing, but that is one very specific piece. Nobody else is doing it. The people have to drive over to the state offices in St. Paul, or there's another organization that takes a few people once in a while. Nobody else is doing this. No other church is doing this. Nobody else is doing this around us. But the church needs to step in, right? We need to do this out of compassion put in us by the love of Christ. We're not going to condemn these people. We're not going to tell them to get out of here. We're not going to force them all to become Christians. We're not going to force them to live in little hovels while the rest of us get real jobs. We are going to meet them right where they're at and help them to become citizens of the United States. That's what the church needs to do. We need to take responsibility for the people that God puts in our regions. We need to move into the political sphere when we need to do that to help people with the love of Christ.
Well, and I guess I would almost be inclined to say that that is not moving into the political sphere. Not in the sense of legislation and rulership and all of that stuff. It's moving into the public sector, the public square, and doing justice.
That's good.
Doing the right thing. Caring for the stranger.
That's good.
And the alien in your midst. Which are biblical principles of justice that sometimes run counter to the political agenda, but can be tackled locally, can be tackled by an initiative that you guys are doing. And what grabs me about that is the idea that we can and should, as a faith community, be looking for ways to stop pushing our responsibility to do justice onto the government. Our responsibility to be a word and life expression of the kingdom of God and Christ's transforming power in our context.
Well, look at it this way, Don, just to affirm that. Who has God given that region to? Who has he given authority to? To the church.
Because Christ is Lord. You know, it goes back to that quote from Kuiper that gets kicked around. There's not one square inch in all of creation to which Christ doesn't point and say, mine. And in this country, because we have granted primacy to the political sphere, our tendency is to foist those areas of responsibility and concern off onto the government, to write letters and do petitions and demonstrate, all of which have their place in the process, but to engage in those kinds of activities in order to bring pressure to bear on the government to enact and administer a program that solves this or that problem. When in fact we have at our disposal the gifts, the calling, the compassion to see an issue to frame a conversation and to construct a strategic solution and then enact it. If you're concerned in a major way about a particular thing, do something about it. You know, it's one thing to be upset about the homeless. It's quite another to engage in an outreach to the homeless. That's messy. That gets up close and personal. But that's where the solutions get enacted. That's where change takes place, is in the messy one-on-one, up close and personal. It's one thing to be concerned about crisis pregnancies. It's quite another to get personally involved with young women who are in a crisis pregnancy or who are teen mothers of preschoolers. That's where their lives are being impacted. That's where their lives are being changed.
So the Christian needs to stand publicly in principle and in our words and in the things we say and the things we write. But love is not just a noun, it's a verb. And a Christian needs to take that love into action. And it's not just something we take an action by paying our taxes. It's not just something we take an action by being a member of a church. We take an action by personally engaging in expressing the love of Christ in a way that brings transformation to our world. It's not just about bringing people into the kingdom of heaven with salvation. The Christian needs to take love and put it into action as Christ taught us to do, by meeting the need of people, by touching people with a love that transforms. And that means us engaging in our world. We can do this just by looking at the felt needs of the world around us. And we can ask, am I being called to do that? We can go to our churches and say, hey, have we done a study of our region? Do we know the needs, or are we all about ourselves? And in fact, when we start to do that, we may find, wow, there's a need. Here we are. We have a means to meet that need. Let's do that. In my community right now, my church is looking at an expansion program. Our facility is not big enough for us. What are we going to do? Are we going to spend $1 million on ourselves? No. So my church has been researching and evaluating and meeting with city officials and school officials and nonprofit officials and individuals and people from all over the city, asking, what are the needs? How can a facility benefit? And what kind of facility should it be? And we've looked at all kinds of things, from drama teams, drama facility, to a teenage help facility, or to a sports facility, to a place that services furniture and cars and things like that. And we've come to a conclusion. And I have a meeting this week with a city official, and we're going to talk through that conclusion. And a group of investors will build this facility, and it will be a for-profit facility. But if you're in the school system, it'll be cheaper than if you're not, et cetera. And the church donated the land. We'll benefit by having exclusive use of it on Sunday mornings. But it will benefit the community. It'll be about them. It'll be about us saying, we love you. Come, let us love on you right here. And man, that's what I'm talking about. That's engaging. That's our call, to move beyond the noun and move into the verb.
Well, Dave, some of the things you're saying are exciting. I think we talked about some things that are practical possibilities. Why don't you close in prayer for us for this episode and ask the Lord to ignite a vision and a passion in his people to move out into every sector of our life and culture right where we are and start framing different conversations. And start presenting real, constructive solutions. and not just suggesting them, but doing them. God has a thing for crazy people. People who are crazy enough to just go out and do it.
Amen.
And if it means getting out of the boat in the middle of a storm or climbing up and ripping a hole in the roof in order to get healing for somebody, so be it. The kingdom belongs to the crazy people who are willing to go out there and innovate and love as a verb.
Heavenly Father, you are with us right now. You are leading this conversation by your grace and by the words of heaven and the work of your Holy Spirit. Jesus, you are making us free and clear and possible even to speak. Holy Spirit, you are right now moving. As I pray, Holy Spirit, I would like to ask you to move with fire and freedom, with heavenly purpose. And would you touch whole regions of the world right now? In those regions that you have placed your people, where you have placed Esthers and Gideons, where you have a Rahab, people who don't even suspect yet that you want to use them to transform their region, but you have placed them there. And Spirit of God, I ask that you would right now move in them, as in praying, would you come upon them? Would you give them a vision? Would you give them a touch? Would you give them a word? And would you speak your word directly to them? And in the name of Jesus, I declare that those people across the United States are under Christ's authority. And I say that the devil must back off of them, cannot have them, must withdraw all his demonic troops to stop them. They declare the movement of heaven, an open, free, clear movement of heaven upon their lives. I declare the movement of heaven on pastors across the globe right now that are listening to this podcast. I declare a movement of heaven, the rending of heaven, where the Spirit of God comes upon them and the love of Christ mobilizes from within them and burns inside them as the Spirit speaks clearly about the ways and the movements that pastor can take to lead people and to do himself. This is your work, God. These are your people, God. This is your church. And it is such a beautiful reflection of you in your glory and in your majesty. In Jesus' precious Savior's name.
And Father, we lift up leaders and influencers in the marketplace.
Yes.
In government, in business, in media.
Yes.
Those people that you have wired for all these various mind-molding, heart-shaping sectors of culture and society in every nation, people that you have seeded into the world. We lift them up and ask for your blessing and your kingdom to be shown through them as they do what you've called them to do in their particular spheres. Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth exactly as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You've been listening to Marketplace Kingdom, a conference call and podcast series from the Empowerment Institute and One Rock Strategics. Our topic has been a different kind of influence and a different kind of change. This episode is a recording of the live call that took place on January 27th of 2017. Marketplace Kingdom and the Street Faith Podcast Channel are both productions of One Rock Strategic Media and are made available for free online listening, download, and non-commercial redistribution under a 2017 Creative Commons copyright. Be sure to like and follow Marketplace Kingdom online at www.onerockstrategics.podomatic.com. We encourage you to share our podcasts with your friends and connections. You can also follow us on our Facebook pages, Empowerment Institute and One Rock Strategics. If you're a Twitter user, you can follow our activity by going to @DJSwanger, and you can join the conversation at #OneRockTribe. Costs for our podcast and ministry activities are covered by the generous support of listeners like you. For information on how you can sponsor a podcast or donate to our work, visit our new website at sevenmountainalliance.webs.com. That's sevenmountainalliance.webs.com. And to find out how you can have Dave Huizenga or myself as a speaker for your organization or event, email us at empowermentfriends@gmail.com. Thank you for listening. So until next time, I'm DJ Swanger.
I'm Dave Huizenga.
Have a great day and a blessed life. And remember, you are important to Jesus and to His kingdom, right where you are.